Welcome, friends, to Tanked Up, the podcast all about video games and beer. I'm one of your hosts, Ben. It's episode 441, and I'm joined by Lucy.
Hello, just me today. We banned Adil because all the magic talk was a bit too much.
That's it. The Spider-Man magic coming soon, the Sonic magic coming soon. Who knows where these conversations are going to go, so you need a break.
We cut him off because, as you say, I mean, Sonic is demonic enough, so we don't know what other smut he might have talked about this week.
Absolutely. And he might actually be getting ready to get on a plane at some point in the next few days as well. So he will join us when he's relocated himself for the next few weeks. Probably with magic cards. Who knows what happens in that magical Canadian, you know, wonderland. But tonight, let's get into what we're going to talk about instead. I'm gonna drink a beer. Lucy, you're not this evening, so I am, and we'll open and get cracking on a beer from Daya called Sensense. I didn't recognise it, but I feel the name at least seems familiar. And I don't know whether I've had a beer named the same thing or whether I've had this beer from Daya. I've not seen this, you know, the can art or anything like that before from them. But as with Daya, there's nothing in terms of sort of much on the can. At 6.5%, it's a New Zealand IPA. And it says this is a delightful IPA designed specifically around freshly harvested, hand-selected Nelson Sauvon and Motueka hops from our friends at Freestyle Hops. Tropical, limey, subtly juicy, delicious. I shall be the judge of that.
Yeah, just water for me.
Yeah, fair.
Not in the classic jug either.
Oh no. Well, that's a good job we haven't got to deal with us. We'd be disappointed, unfortunately. but it is a school night. It's a school night tonight. We're doing an earlier one as we missed sort of each other over the weekend. But there's a game we'd like to talk about that we've both been playing. But first, the Daya. That's a frothy old beer. Nice, light in colour, little orangey, little yellow, edging more on that kind of orange than, say, straw. Nice nose. You're definitely getting a bit of that, as I said, sort of limey, didn't it, on the thing. You're getting a bit of lime on the nose, interestingly, sort of cutting through. And then a bit of fruit as well. Maybe a bit more sort of mango-y, touch of orange, perhaps.
It looks good.
It's smooth. It's lovely. It's light. It's fluffy. That's a lovely body. And that flavour's actually quite soft as well. Definitely more orangey, I feel like it is in the flavour. Okay. Maybe a little bit of mango, but it's kind of soft mango. It's not like super ripe or piney or anything like that. And you get the lime, as you did on the nose, kind of cutting through. But it's quite light. It's almost like a few drops of sort of lime juice in it. It's not sort of zesty or anything kind of bigger than that. It's just a nice kind of soft citrus running through. And I think that's the main thing I say about this beer. It's very, very soft. Mouthfeel is soft. Carbonation's quite soft. The flavour's quite soft. All of the individual parts going on flavour-wise are quite soft.
Are you picking up on like any like vinous or earthy notes from like the Nelson Sauvin and the Motueka?
Not yet.
Okay.
I think I can feel sort of the end, as my palate sort of acclimatises to it, towards the finish, it may start to get towards that. But at the moment, it's that more fruity. And it's not even sweet kind of fruit. I think the lime is the thing that's really sort of driving the flavour. It's kind of a soft fruitiness to start with. The lime kind of kicks in. Maybe that's just edging out the other kind of, if there is any sort of vinous or, as you say, sort of earthy notes kind of in this. But
yeah.
It's lovely. But no, not at the moment. I'll report back towards the end and see how it's sort of changed through. I mean, I've already poured now the whole tin into the glass, so it's not going to stick around very long.
No, I mean, just looking at it, I'd smash that back very quickly. Yeah.
Absolutely, and it's 6.5, so it's middling in terms of its strength. It's not too big, but yeah, it's very, very easy. It's kind of, what was I drinking at the weekend? Lots of kind of, you know, 4.5-5% sort of fridge filler type beers, you know, more supermarket kind of craft. Just because it was easy whilst I was away over the weekend. And this, you know, it's more full bodied than kind of any of those IPA offerings. A little bit more alcohol, but it's like head and shoulders above almost everything I drank at the weekend, basically.
Yeah.
So yes, as we expect, really, from Daya.
I had some amber lagers yesterday. I think one from Cloudwater. Nice. One was from, was it Wild Horse? Maybe?
Oh yeah.
Or was it the Wilderness? I think it was the Wilderness. Yeah. Yeah, really, really nice. It's good to see, you know, styles like that are still kicking about.
Absolutely, and for more breweries like Cloudwater, someone like that to be brewing those slightly more traditional sort of styles. So yeah, nice. Cool. I'll drink this and we'll jump straight into what we're going to talk about this evening. For those watching, for those listening to us, it's going to be a bit of a shorter episode tonight, as Lucy and I have been playing a game we wanted to talk about. That game, rather than say missing an episode for the week and coming in later in the week. So I don't know how long you've been playing it, Lucy, but I have had a code for Wheel World, which is the game we're talking about, for a couple of weeks now, and I find, give it a description in a moment, but I find I've been poking at it and playing it in like incredibly short chunks.
I'm sort of the opposite, where I've been just been relaxing with it, like unwinding to it in like a couple hour sessions at night. But yeah, I can, you know, by its nature where it's like, oh, you're in an open world, but going through the world, you have these individual races scattered throughout it. I can see how, yeah, you just do play incrementally. It's like, okay, I'll do a couple races this night, or try and explore this part of the world looking for different parts and stuff this night, etc. But yeah, it's been holding my attention. I think it was I just put it down, actually. I think it's 10 hours. Some of that might be just like idle time, but I think I've probably played like 3 or 4 nights for like maybe 2 to 3 hours. You know, just trying to get as close to 100% as I can.
Nice.
I won't 100% it because, well, we'll go into some frustrations I have with it later, but yeah, as close to 100% because I'm enjoying most of the parts for the most part.
Nice, good, so, good. So for those who don't know, Wheel World is it's a cycling game. It's like a slightly more arcadey style open world cycling game. It doesn't push too heavily on things like story. It doesn't push too heavily on like race structure and those kinds of things. So it's a cycling game, but you're basically a character called Cat, and you're cycling a bike that has a what is he, Scully? He's like a soul,
spirit.
It's like a spirit, sort of within the bike. You know, rough storyline is you need to collect parts which have disappeared from the bike to be able to get onto the sewer of souls, I think.
Sewer of spirits.
And to do that, you have to race for them, ultimately. So you're traveling around the world that you live in, basically just racing lots of different groups and individuals and things like that. And you have to earn rep to kind of progress through. That's sort of the currency, if you like, kind of through the game. So it locks you off from later races by saying you need 20 rep to be able to do this kind of race, or you need 50 rep to sort of go and do sort of, you know, the what is considered the top race in that kind of map and stuff. And I think at the moment I am probably I think I've probably got one more race to do to finish the sort of the story element of it, or at least to have participated in every
race.
Gone
to the Sewer of Spirits.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So yeah. I've travelled or done the first sort of section and collected all of the parts, and yeah, done the Sewer of Spirits to then go into the next section and start to do sort of races. And I kind of actually dislike the jump. Like, I thought as I was sort of doing the races and cycling through, I'm like, this is a good, like, cool. This is a solid 3-hour game. I'm happy. I'm happy with getting to this point and then it kind of ending. And jumping back into the world and, as you say, Lucy, kind of not necessarily 100%ing it, but having a look at going, oh, what, I could beat my time on that, or I could, you know, all I did on this race was I won, but I didn't beat the kind of the time sort of trial element
challenge,
of it, and I didn't collect the letters cat throughout the race. So when it jumps, I'm like, oh, got a whole new set of things to unlock and a whole new set of races to do. I'm like, I'm not really sure how I feel about that.
I was like, oh, more game. But I think it's a less appealing section visually.
Absolutely.
And it's what, because it's like, you know, it's meant to look like, I guess, hell. Where it's just sewage. I mean, it's got quite of not a meme-y, quite a, I don't know, of the time kind of humor to it, which I enjoy. Sort of like, I don't know, a Donut County-esque kind of humor to it, where basically in order to do infrastructure like upgrades, they're using like the spirits to kind of fuel their like newest corpo strategy. In terms of like, instead of having like normal bikes, we're going to make them fuel powered and just stuff like that. And it's got a bit of humor to it. But it's meant to look like, I don't know, the seventh circle of hell. Everything's like green and got, you know, litter and sewage and stuff like that. And also, the races are harder. They just kick the difficulty up a notch. The opposing races are just quicker. And that's where some of the jank that's in the game that has been lovable to a certain point starts to become a bit frustrating, because it's like, okay, some of this wonky physics, like someone hits a shopping cart like at the wrong angle and they're like just sent sprawling into you or something like that, or like one of the other racers just goes into traffic and it's like, oh, just careers off of them and back into you, and it's like, yeah, some of the jank that has been lovable up to this point is starting to impact me negatively. And playing yesterday after those couple amber lagers, I was like, and also just falling asleep. I just want to beat the time. But it's like every time it's like something different, something in the physics system doesn't play right, or the course of the traffic on this kind of lap is different to the last one, and it's like impeding me or just making me crash, and it's less than ideal.
I agree it's
more game, and I liked more game. But I think I preferred
the more open nature of the first area, even when you're racing in something which, and there's a couple of races which are more, I can't remember the characters sort of saying, we love BMXs. And even though they're not necessarily riding BMXs, the track you're on is quite tight turns. It's, you know, some races can take you from one end of the island to the other. And this is very contained on a little racetrack, basically. And like, that was cool because it's slightly different to what I've been doing. You know, this race was up and down a mountain. This race was three laps around sort of vineyards. And the world is open enough that you can cut through quite a lot of places.
Yeah.
With the second map, especially in one area, it's all incredibly tight, and there's fencing essentially around the racetrack, which doesn't allow you that freedom of movement as much. And I think you're absolutely right in that the opponents are like solid blocks. You hit them, they're not moving. You're moving. You are being thrown wherever you're being kind of thrown. And the difficulty jump, as you say, I think in the first area, anytime I crashed or something went wrong, I always felt like I could get back on the bike and catch up. Whereas with the second area, I didn't. I think a couple of times I tried, I was just like, no, it's just I don't know the there's not enough margin for error. It's tight turns now. I'm not going to catch them up. I've got to brake constantly and move around. I'm just going to restart. And actually, I've got a bit of muscle memory from that first kind of lap around that I kind of know what's coming. Interestingly, I picked up on a couple of maps that when you're doing a first lap, and if you restart the game, and say you're cycling down a track and you cross over a road, and you can see a truck coming across the road, if you restart it and you cycle again, that truck will be in the same place and will come over on that first lap. So some of the additional kind of elements, like other vehicles that are in the world on some of those races, seem like they're programmed in to be there. So you could learn, actually, if I boost through this first bit, I'm not going to be anywhere near that truck. Great. I know that. Yeah. And I can kind of, you know, become very, or perfect this kind of race, or perfect this run, to try and then again beat that time trial on it, to be able to kind of get past all of these kinds of elements. But to counter those kind of negative points, I think the cycling itself is very, very smooth, and it's kind of arcadey enough. It feels really good, like taking turns, kind of just braking a bit and being able to kind of drift as such, kind of around sort of corners and things, works very, very well. Cat is not, you're not having to land jumps as such. You know, there's not like kind of bike physics in it where you want your, as you're coming over a jump and you're about to land, you don't necessarily and are not able to kind of direct your back wheel to hit first and be able to kind of, you know, bounce quite nicely sort of through. It's not that. It's just kind of like, no, you've just landed. Don't worry about it. Cool. Just continue on. And I really like that kind of arcade nature of it.
Yeah.
Paired with the slight upgrades of going, cool, I've got loads of different wheels. I've got loads of different frames. I've got loads of different handlebars or saddles and things. And I can change all of those around to kind of perfect how I want to race. But on a slightly negative point, I basically just put on the things that made the bike seem the best and then didn't adapt it for the different areas, because some are on roads, some are on like dirt tracks, and you can get dirt wheels, you get road wheels, you get a few different options. I'm like, no, this is just the best for everything. I just know that I can go with this.
Yeah, I'm the same. Found like a build that was pretty universal and all-rounded, and it's like, okay, I'll stick with that. And I guess that's the kind of line that you have to toe when you're making a kind of arcadey, more arcade focused game rather than like a straight up cycling sim. Because I enjoyed how little friction there is in the game, because it's like, you know, it was, most of the races up to a certain point were a breeze, and it was like, didn't really have to, you know, restart them or redo them. Maybe in one race I'd get three of the objectives and then do it again and get like the last objective. But often I'd just hit all four objectives, like coming first. Well, there's an objective for coming in the top three, but most of the time I'd finish first, doing the time challenge and getting the letters, the like Tony Hawk combo thing. And I like that. I was like, okay, there was there is some challenge, but it's like, you know, I'm doing this fairly breezily, and it's like, I like that. I think having like the different parts and the different stats for each part, I think that's, it's good that it's there for people who want to like stop min-maxing things and actually like get the fastest time that they can, because there are like leaderboards for like, you know, you and your friends and stuff like that. But at that same time, I don't know anyone who would be that focused in getting the highest times, would be interested in a game that is as arcadey as this. So it's like, it's a bit of I think it's challenging for arcadey games to be like, how simplistic do we go, how complex do we go? Because like, there's bikes with like different gears and stuff like that, and I didn't even touch those up to a certain point. So, but I think it, as you say, it nails the feeling, like the mechanical feeling of a bike, especially when you have those like the multi-geared ones and stuff like that. But yeah, it just feels good. So I think that's the most important part.
Very much. For sure. I think it's kind of one where there's other characters that are just cycling around the world as well that you can kind of challenge as you're cycling, and they'll take you on like a little route. So you sort of have a one-on-one sort of challenge. And I kind of feel like I'd have liked a little bit more of that, like the world to have been maybe just a touch more kind of populated with stuff. And there's things to find, there's bike parts to find, there's characters that you can just chat to kind of in the world and things. But, you know, you go and meet a group of cyclists and they go, great, here's the race. It's a big loop three times around this area. Cool, right. I've done that. As you say, I've hit all four things. I don't need to retry this race. I'll just move to the next one. And getting between that and the next one, if there was a little bit more challenge in between, I'm like, oh, cool, I've met this character and I'm going to race them. And actually, that took me to the next race, or it took me a little bit past it, so I'd have to come back, maybe a touch. But actually, there's a lot of times where I'm just cycling through the world, which is nice, but there's not anything in there it's just getting from point A to point B. There wasn't sort of like, oh, there's a couple of jumps, sure, and I've kind of navigated my way sort of around. But I kind of wanted something to pull me through a little bit more.
Yeah, I do feel like I agree with you in the fact that it's like, it feels like you just want one or two more features / mechanics in there in between, like rather than just, okay, I've stumbled upon like some parts or a package, I'm speaking to somebody, or I'm just racing like those lone wolves that you can race in the world. It would be nice if there was something more to that, but I'd say that I was entertained enough in between the major races, whereas I always felt like there was enough to do, because the world isn't too big.
No.
So as I say, I'm with you in the fact that I think, yeah, there could have been one or two additional things to, even if it's like collectibles or something like that.
Yeah.
Could have been one or two more. But I still felt like I had enough to do in between the big set piece
races. That's fair. I think for me, if they'd have thrown in like a bunny hop, the ability to jump or something like that.
You have a bunny hop.
Do you? Have I just not? No.
Yeah, I didn't realise for ages either, because I think it's a certain character that you talk to or something like that. That's maybe they're in the first town square that you that you get to. But yeah, if you just hold the analog stick down and then lift it back up, it's a bunny hop.
Oh, mate, because I'm going around like, how do I get up to that bike part up on there? Like, I can't see a route to get around. Oh, mate, that would have made a massive difference if I'd known that.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's like me in Elden Ring, and I didn't know you could run. For like 30
just trudge through the world, just taking ages. At least in this one, I knew I could get on the bike and I could actually cycle rather than just walking around kind of with it. That would have made a massive difference if I'd have known that and had that ability, because that would have changed the dynamic with things like jumps and stuff like that, rather than just being like, I'm just going over this ramp. Actually being able to sort of pull something off kind of going over it would have made a bit of a difference, I think, for me. Just giving me that little bit more immersion through it, I suppose. So, but that's not to say, and these kind of small critiques I think we have with some of it, some of them are a little bit bigger, you know, in terms of the your opponents being sort of bricks and you bouncing kind of off them is a bit more egregious, especially when, as you, I think, mentioned sort of at the top, Lucy, you bash into them and then you go flying and you could just, you know, go off course or go wherever,
crash out,
rather than there being a bit of give and sort of, you know, and you know, when people are cycling, people don't bash into each other in big races. People will, you know, cyclists are aggressive and will try and push people out of the way and things. And obviously other cyclists have to either give way a little bit and kind of move. And I can see why maybe that's not brought in so much with the arcadey kind of nature of it, but just a little bit of proximity kind of give perhaps would have worked quite well.
Yeah.
I think the same is not necessarily true of the world, but I found myself clipping on stuff quite easily in some of the tighter sort of races.
Yeah, in some parts, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, oh, there's such a fine line to get past it, and I'm going to make this, and you just don't. Even though you think that you've just judged it right to get past, like the hitbox on, I think it was a tanker, like a truck or something like that, that I was going past, and a couple of times, almost run exactly the same line, trying to pull across a little bit on this race, and I was still hitting it every time. I'm like, oh, the hitbox on this is just that bit bigger than the slightly curved shape of the tanker would suggest it is.
There was certainly it may have been the same point as you, where it's like, this part is like, I should be clearing this.
Yeah.
Like, you know, looks like I'm right in the middle, but like, the hitbox is just way bigger than it should be. So
But again, it doesn't diminish the sort of the enjoyment of the game. You just think, oh, okay, this is just this one section on this one race. I just, as long as I hit it and then I can, you know, keep going round, that's kind of it. And it did occur a couple of other times. There's a couple of bits where you're tightly turning, especially in the second map, where you're turning tightly through some cars, through like a car park. There's a couple of times where it felt like I was hitting the corner of a car, where I didn't feel like I was near it, really. But interestingly, in the first map, when you're in the little town and you're cycling around, there's people just stood in the street. They actually kind of jump out of the way, and but don't have any hitbox as such to them. Even if they don't quite move out of the way, they jump towards you, kind of in the wrong direction. Then there's certain things where you go, great, I've just been able to move through this. Perfect. That's kind of what I wanted from that. So harder and sort of softer elements to that kind of.
What I think is a neat mechanic is the drafting thing. So if you get in like the jet stream of like another of your opponents and you're behind them, you have this thing called a boost that fills up over time if you have certain bike parts or if you do certain things like get, you know, just graze past things or almost miss an oncoming car or something like that, or get enough airtime, your boost gauge like fills up. And one way to fill it up really quickly is just getting behind one of your opponents, and you just see it just like I think Scully or something just flashes blue, and it's just like really fills it up quickly, and then you can boost.
You get some
past them,
extra
so that's
kind
fun.
Of wind sort of visuals, don't you, as well? Sort of the lines trailing off the back of the characters are sort of sat behind them. It is, but I felt very quickly that I was outpacing the. So you're essentially trying to race one character, really, who's normally at the front, but they'll have four or five, maybe even there's eight, isn't it? I think there's seven opponents.
Or seven others,
And I would find on a lot of races that I would get past the first six very quickly. And it would be ultimately be a race between me and whoever is kind of out front.
Mm-hmm.
And so that drafting mechanic worked quite well in the early stages of the game. But I kind of outperformed it almost in the later stages. Where you're like, oh, I'm drafting. No, I'm around them already. Okay. Oh, I'm drafting. No, I'm around them already. Mm-hmm. And it's more those near misses, because you get it from the near misses also happen from the world as well, not just cars and things like that. So I felt that filling up my boost kind of bar happened quite naturally. That I'd get, you know, on a lap, maybe three quarters to a full sort of, you know, bar just from sort of weaving in and out and stuff like that. But
yeah,
it
encourages you to be a bit more daring and get those like kind of near misses, which is good, a way of adding challenge.
Absolutely, absolutely. But I think that not a lot was made of the drafting, but it feels, you know, when you're in a cycling race, especially bigger kind of professional cycling races, you get packs of characters that will sort of, you know, stick together. And yes, you'll get two or three cyclists who will push on that little bit, and then the sort of the pack catches them up sort of through a race or through a stage and that sort of stuff. That you could be, you know, trailing in sort of fourth or fifth within this kind of pack, and then actually you can use the drafting and you can use your boost to catch up someone in first. It doesn't quite work like that. I felt it was me and then another character like just way out in front after, say, like the first lap or after the first 30 seconds of a point-to-point kind of race. Again, something like maybe just a little bit tighter in terms of the performance of all of these characters would have added that little bit more challenge and that little bit more, not necessarily enjoyment, but a slightly more kind of tense feeling to it, because I'm like, cool, I'm already out in front. There's one lap to go. Unless I fuck it up, I'm not going to lose. Basically,
As you say, the first like five races do just seem like fodder just to build that boost up with the drafting. It would have been a bit more, as you say, a bit more balanced if, like, they weren't just, okay, they're going to be behind you within the first, before you even get around the first corner.
Yeah.
It would have been a bit better if they were, like, more staggered throughout the race, where it's like, okay, I've got up to fourth, now I'm chasing down third, now I'm chasing down second, now I'm chasing down first. Where it's always like, okay, I'm eighth, and now I'm second.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, it's a good game. It's a fun game.
Yeah.
And it's visually, at least in the first world, it's very appealing and very distinct. You know, three, four distinct like biomes to it as well. You know, not ridiculously vibrant, not kind of otherworldly. Very sort of, you know,
just pleasant. Just
absolutely. It's like, cool, I could be in like the Spanish or French sort of vineyards right now, and now I've just found my way up into the mountain. Yeah, perfect. This works very well in those sorts of terms, and it's a just a very nice game to look at, especially as it's not too vibrant. There's not too much kind of drawing your attention, especially on those races. But it's not dull as such. But you know, you're in the vineyards, you're in the sort of the farm, and it's lots of greens and yellows. Brilliant. I don't need a bright pink suddenly disappearing past me to be like, what the fuck is that? And then not concentrate on kind of what I'm doing. Or the oranges and sort of reds as you're sort of going up the mountain of the sort of the leaves and things like that. So it's not monotone as such, but I think it plays with colour very well in that first world, unlike the second one, which is pretty drab, pretty monotone.
Yeah.
And
dark green and greys and stuff
like
that.
Sludgy,
yeah.
Isn't it? Almost. It's meant to have that kind of vibe to it, but I think it's just a bit too much, and a bit too contrasting to
too
the first.
Too jarring, compared to, I think it's really pretty. Like, it inspired me to go on a bike ride yesterday, and I was like, there are no hot air balloons or lush fields here. It's just grey.
Streets and cars like, and shit.
And industrial sites, yeah.
Well, they could have just done that. The second world could have just been Birmingham, couldn't it? Just cycling through the city rather than this sort of sludge world.
Well, like, in terms of, like, you know, almost careening into another car and crashing out and dying. Yeah, absolutely. It's not a great city to cycle in Birmingham, but we won't dwell on that. I did you know the like backstory behind the game?
No, I don't. I know it's come from Messhoff, who made Nidhogg. Different game.
Because if I'm correct, I think it's because one of the someone like on the dev team or something like that, someone they knew, like passed away from like a bike accident.
Okay.
So, yeah, here we go. Oh, or was that just the original story for it? Here we go. Originally, the game had a more somber tone, and its narrative focused on a cyclist who was transported to Cycling Valhalla after being killed in a road traffic accident. It's called Ghost Bike. Yeah, so I'm going to have to... I don't know if that was just the story or if it was, like, actually inspired by true events. I'm not sure. But, yeah, having that in the back of my mind, it was just like, oh, this is a nice, light-hearted take on, like, the underworld and, you know, passing on and stuff like that. So I'll have to look into that a bit more, because it's either, oh, okay, that's just very dark, or where that was their original pitch for the game, because that would have been like, damn. Just wanted to play a breezy little cycling game.
Yeah.
I have trauma in it. Or if it is a way of processing trauma and they came up with this and it's very lighthearted. I'll have to have a look. Yeah.
I mean, potentially, because I could see, you know, if it was, what was it called? Ghost Bike to start with.
Ghost Bike originally, yeah.
I could very much see the second map being, you know, if they'd have developed the game with those sort of tones, that this could have been almost a game of two halves, in terms of you're in the world, the first map is, you know, you're cycling around doing all of the races, and then that split point between the two is then the accident as such, and then you jump into, you know, the second world. But it's a little bit dark, a little bit kind of on the nose for sort of cyclists in the city and stuff. And I think if they hadn't have written that very well, then it could have been a very poor transition through those two, not emotionally, not done very, very well. Maybe that's something to do with why they've changed sort of the narrative slightly. And you're sort of, you know, Scully's assistant as such now, because he has to have a rider to get him through the sewer. So,
it says here on Wikipedia, as the studio refined its gameplay systems, it also changed the game's tone to be more lighthearted. So it's one of those that changed with the gameplay as it went on. So,
yeah,
but I enjoyed my time with it. I'm probably going to put it down now. I was just like mopping up a few easy achievements. Yeah. But yeah, probably I've had my fill after the 10 hours or so with it. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It's just something that was just like nice to lay back and unwind and chill with it. And it, you know, we talked about how smooth the cycling feels, even with the crappiest bike that you're given at the start, it still feels great, you know? And it just continues to, well, I guess to a certain point, it gets better when you get the different bike parts, but it never feels like, you know, there's a lot of friction or it's cumbersome or it's, you know, hard to navigate. And there are just like some fun things where it's like, okay, I can have a frame that looks like a hot dog.
Yeah. Or a horse. Like the horse head, horse. Yeah.
And it's just the horse bike is excellent. When you get all of it and it's just like a little horse strutting. But it's like, yeah, it's got that humor in it and just that why not kind of thing. It's like it feels awful to maneuver, but it looks like a hot dog. Why wouldn't I equip this for the rest of the game?
Yeah, I think I didn't sort of, because I know you can find those tokens and doing challenges and things give you more of those tokens, which allow you to buy different bits for the bikes and stuff. But I didn't delve into that too much. I think I found so many kind of through the world anyway, and the ones that you get from sort of winning races, that I didn't end up using that system that much, really, apart from novelty hot dog, which I think you buy from a hot dog stand, don't you? So, yes.
It's the only thing that's sold there, just the hot dog. I didn't delve too much into it, because as I say, it's not a game that relies on tweaking systems and min-maxing.
Absolutely.
You can just get on any bike typically, and just go and have a good shot in most of the races. Mm. You're not having to change out like the grip of the tyres depending on whether what terrain you're on. So
yeah,
and I'm glad it doesn't have that resistance or friction to it.
Very much. I think it's the sort of the fluid motion of it, and also the perspective, sort of where the camera sits and that kind of field of view, combined mm-hmm. with the very simply detailed aesthetic of the game, made it perfect for Steam Deck. Where you're on that sort of smaller screen.
That's where I
haven't played it on PC at all. I've played it on Steam Deck the entire time. And I think the aesthetic and, as I say, field of view and stuff really adds to being able to play it on that smaller screen. Nothing is really kind of, and I said, you know, nothing draws your attention too much when you're trying to focus on exactly where you're going and sort of things like that. So it's a lovely experience.
Yeah, I wish it had more settings in it, because I'm sure this may be just a me thing, because I'm clearly my brain's broken, but I was getting a bit motion sick when I tried it on my Xbox. I'm playing it all via Xbox Game Pass on Steam Deck, but on my big TV. But I don't know what it is. I don't know if it was, as you say, the field of view is just everything feels smaller on a Steam Deck, and it's like less to look at and stuff. So it's I end up playing a lot of games on Steam Deck because of that reason. For games that I can't change the settings on. And this doesn't have any like accessibility settings, which isn't great. I don't think there was anything in there, which is like, come on, it's like the basics. We can do the basics, can't we? But I'm just very sensitive, but I'm sure there are other people out there who probably as sensitive as me.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I could. I'm trying to think exactly now how, when, like, I played it earlier, in fact. I'm trying to think, mm-hmm. there's not, like, the camera's not fixed. I think you can move it, can't you, as mm-hmm. you're cycling?
Yes, you can, yeah.
But I think when I was racing, I tended not to do that. It does sit behind mm-hmm. Kat and the bike, and it is almost fixed. It does follow you kind of around as you're mm-hmm. kind of moving. And if you want a different view, you can use the other analog stick to sort of change that view. But I felt that it didn't, like, nothing in terms of that kind of camera movement was too jarring at all. Like, it wasn't suddenly like, mm-hmm. oh, you're pointing in this direction now, you're kind of looking over here or anything like that. But I could see how, you know, especially with the kind of, you know, the bob of the actual cyclist kind of moving side to side, even though the camera doesn't sort of shuffle with that. But then all of mm-hmm. the sort of particle kind of physics that happen with the wind resistance, or with the sort of you know, the trails that the characters kind of leave behind them and stuff, quite a lot is coming towards you, I suppose, as mm-hmm. you're sort of moving through. So you can definitely see how someone could easily, you know, have that sense of overwhelm or that sort of sense where their brain kind of goes, no, there is too much here for you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, being able to tone some of that down would be good. Definitely, if there's not a slider to sort of do so. Good. So I think overall it's a lovely experience. It's kind of
loved it.
A nice I think I've only spent about 6 hours with it. Mm-hmm. Just before the last kind of race. So I'd probably put, you know, once I've done that, see if there's anything I want to kind of mop up. But like you, I probably won't go 100% into it.
Yeah.
Final question, which you may not know the answer to. Once you've transitioned into the second map, can you travel back?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
You just have to... This is another little bugbear I have. I wish you could just easily travel between those different maps, like, immediately. Because there are, like, fast travel points.
Yes.
And it's just like, you go to the map, you click on it, and you're immediately there, and that's fantastic. I wish you could also do that in between the separate maps. Mm. And I wish you could also just just look at the map, see which races you've done, go to the race, and just say, I want to try this again.
Yeah.
Like, instead of having to cycle all the way back over there. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That would be nice.
Again, if it's not something that opens up when you've kind of completed the game. I could see how that would be locked behind completion, potentially. But then you're going, actually, I do want to go in and mop up all of these races. Now I've just essentially got a playlist of every single race, and I can see, oh, I came first in this one, but I didn't beat the time trial, and I didn't, you know, collect the letters. Yeah. Like, I'd like to try and
because
do
that's in the menu.
Yeah.
Yeah, that list is in the menu, but it's like, can I just click from this menu and just go to that race? It's like, no. And so that's a bit,
But a little bit of accessibility and a little bit of quality of life kind of updates wouldn't go amiss.
Because once you've, as you say, it would be a good thing to unlock at the end of the game, where it's like, okay, I've cycled in between the world, I've you know, explored the world, but now I just want to do like achievement clear up. Because I was like, oh, I hope there's like something that just puts where all the parts that I missed and all the shops on the map at the end of the game, just for 100% in. It's like, no, it doesn't do that either. So it's like,
no. And there's characters in the world, or the same. I can't tell whether it's the same character or it's lots of the same aesthetic of a character, but different characters themselves who all say exactly the same thing that you encounter, who will show you where a part in the world is. But if you'd have to talk to them hundreds of times, maybe not quite hundreds, but to get all of the parts that are kind of around in the world that you haven't just kind of come across.
I think
across,
they only show you one part.
Right, and then that's it, done.
Yeah.
So, interesting, because there's more parts in the world than there are, though, that character sat around as well. So, there's not something that, would again, would push you to being able to find all of those parts, apart from going like, I have to scour this entire map.
Exactly, to find those. Because it's like, because there are achievements for getting like every single box or every single, like, just you find like coupons just scattered in the world, like on the ground. There are achievements for getting all of those, and it's like, no, absolutely not. Unless there's like, you know, if there was a way to, like, I don't know, use coupons to like buy a map of here where all the parts are, or this is where all the lost boys are, or something like that. That would have been nice, rather than being like, it was an achievement. I was like, I just went to like the Steam discussions. I was like, where is this part? Because it's like the part that it was the horse part, the horse bike. And I was just like, this is great. Where's the last part for this? And it's an achievement. And it was like, oh, there are people curating that kind of stuff. But it's like, it's a small game. I don't think anybody's possibly going to put the time and effort into creating a whole interactive map or something on IGN.com. So,
oh man, if we know anything currently about the state of games journalism, guides and things seem to be what drive clicks now to sites. So IGN and an interactive map
for GTA 6. That will probably cover IGN's revenue for like the next like seven decades.
Absolutely.
Just having that GTA 6 interactive
map. Very much where it comes out on this game console and will be on the next game console and will probably be on the game console after that as well, as the only GTA game available kind of through the next several generations of gaming. But yeah, an interactive map for Wheel World, I think, would be very good. But there's so many of those boxes lying around. I just don't think I would have it in me to go around and get all of them.
No. I did the Lost Boys one. That was easy enough because there's 21 in total. And I think I'd already ticked off quite a few before. But, there are people, bless their hearts, making YouTube videos and stuff. And it was just like, I was just like, I just want a bit more Wheel World. I want, because I thought I was going to come up to the end of the game, getting to the Sewer of Spirits. Mm-hmm. I thought that was the end of the game. I thought that would be like point of no return. So I was just like, oh, I want to, you know, I was probably, 5 hours at that point. And I was like, I want to do some more. So I started collecting those things. I was like, oh, there's some in the sewers. There's some in this place. There's more there. So I was like, okay, I'll go there. And at that point, I'd like collected most of them. So I was like, I'll just do a few more.
That's fair. Yeah. I think the Lost Boys, I've only found like three of them.
Yeah.
I suppose this is maybe part of the, you know, part of my issue between kind of going from race to race is I'm not necessarily exploring kind of the map between those parts because, yes, okay, I could find all of them and then the drone would give me a, you know, for every X amount of them that I find, the drone gives me some more tickets to buy different bike parts. But it's not enough of an incentive for me to kind of look for
the hot
for
dog train was not enough of an incentive. Well, this game's not.
I mean,
I
haven't collected the horse. I haven't collected the whole horse. I think that might be an incentive just to be able to ride around on a horse.
The horse
absolutely.
Is really good.
Yeah. Like, oh, it's got a tail and everything.
It handles awfully, but it's so good because it's got the little.
Absolutely. Then it just turns into GTA. You're just riding around. Yeah. Sorry, not GTA. Red Dead Redemption. Red Dead. You're just riding around on a horse without the ability to shoot or lasso or do anything actually that you can ridiculously do in that game. But good. Nice. Any final thoughts on Wheel World, Lucy, to close us out with?
No, it feels like a game that is it Roll 7. Or something like that would have made. I just had to keep looking up the dev because I was like, this feels like something. This isn't a Roll 7 game. What are you talking about? This feels like something they'd make, and RIP to them. But yeah, it's good to see games like this still alive and well and chugging along where it's like, because it's Annapurna who publishes it, isn't it? And it's just like that kind of not huge indie game. But just feels like a bit slightly bigger in scope than some others, and it's just like, yeah, I'm glad games like this exist. It's just like chill the game, which I really enjoyed.
Absolutely, and it doesn't, again, aesthetically, it's quite soft, and it's not too detailed, and it's got that little bit of. You know, like Rollerdrome from Roll 7. It's a similar kind of, not cell shaded, but that kind of like two tone color sort of aesthetic kind of to it. And I did think as I was playing it through, I thought, oh, you know, obviously it's on a bike. This feels similar to kind of Season, which came out last year, which is a very narrative sort of driven game. And actually, going back and looking at Season, so much more detailed than Wheel World is. Like, actually, I don't think I appreciated quite how detailed Season was in terms of its aesthetic when I played that through last year, and sort of the way the light plays in that kind of game and stuff like that, you know, very very different, very atmospheric kind of game. Whereas Wheel World, it's an arcade racer ultimately, and that's, it's not trying to be kind of anything more, which is absolutely fine, and the aesthetic that it has works really well for it. So
yeah, more bike games.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's like Descenders and Lonely Mountains, but those games didn't appeal to me because those are just like, it feels like more race to race, where this one just feels like, oh, we've got an open world and it's like you're opening up shrines. It is just like very Breath of the Wild, you know, like there's no bones about it. It's like, okay, this is Breath of the Wild kind of inspired. But yeah, it feels like, oh, there's a little mini world to explore. There's a bit more going on than just doing race after race, which is nice.
Very much, yeah.
Which I appreciated.
Nice. Good. Let's finish there then with our little review of Wheel World. I'll close out the episode on the Daya, the Sensense. I didn't get much of a difference through the beer. Not a huge amount of anything else really as I was drinking. Maybe a little bit of a kind of a vinous sort of feel, but not something that really stood out. The kind of that lime kicks in all the way through, and it just remains a nice soft sort of fruity beer. Very easy to drink. Disappeared, you know, within the sort of the half an hour that we've been chatting, or a bit longer than that actually, to be fair, 40 minutes or so that we've been chatting. Yeah, very nice, but you know, what I said kind of from the top of it really. Have you had it before?
The can looks familiar, but I don't think I've had that. Maybe I Maybe it could be downstairs. It could be. Because the thing is, I buy a lot of beer and then I don't get through it. And it's like, hold on, I bought that 6 months ago.
Check the day, like, oh shit, so, I'll drink it now.
Yeah.
Good. So, friends, that's it from us this week. If you want to tell us about the games you've been playing or the beers that you've been drinking, you can go to outoflives.net and comment on the podcast post. You can go to our Out of Lives YouTube page as well and leave us a comment there. Or you can get us on social media. On Blue Sky, I am Nova47. And Lucy is?
A Juicy Loose 9.
Or if you...
I haven't opened Blue Sky. I downloaded it, though. I downloaded the app. So I did that. I'm a step closer.
Nice.
I will go onto it and start following some interesting,
like Blue Sky, as Twitter used to be for me. I've got like my work browser on my, well, I've got my browser, which is with my work profile on my PC, you know, emails, calendars, and all the things that I have open for that. And then I have a second one open, which is my personal one, which is things like Out of Ives emails, if I've opened those, you know, my Hotmail and a few other sort of things. And Twitter was a mainstay on that set of sort of tabs for ages. And Blue Sky has become that. Like, it's almost always open on my PC.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this is probably more down to the amount of people that I kind of follow, it doesn't update that much. Like, I'll click on it and be like, cool, nothing's changed in a few minutes. I'll breeze over it. I don't need to look at it again. Brilliant. And then in an hour, I'm like, cool, what's happened? Oh, there's been like 4 posts. Well, this is nice. I can keep up with this. Yeah. This is brilliant.
Yeah.
I'm not going to comment on any of them or do any interaction with sort of anything. But it's nice. It's very chilled.
It's not the slop that's on Twitter.
Just the
sounds refreshing.
Yeah, absolutely.
And nice,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It is. It does seem like a lovely place so far.
I don't even think Twitter has a algorithm anymore other than just we're going to show you the worst things that bring out the worst sides of people.
Brilliant. The nicest of, I mean, there's several hellscapes out there and Twitter is probably one of the worst ones, I would imagine.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Come friends, join us over on Blue Sky and chat to us, or as we say, outoflives.net or our YouTube page as well, or you could hit your podcast service of choice up and rate and review us, because who does that anymore? I haven't rated and reviewed a podcast for probably 10 years.
Yeah. But the listens and the views are appreciated.
Yeah, very much.
So.
Perfect. So that is us for this week. Thank you for joining us. We've been Tagged Up and we'll see you again soon. Goodbye.
Bye. And a ciao from our missing friend.
www.outoflives.net